Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
October 18th, 2018.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, some people are starting to get the hang of this. You know, say hi to them.
Hello, people.
That's my wife. Anyway, if you didn't know that already, you're just now turning in. This is Mrs. Pastor Dan or Linda Catlin.
And I get called that a lot, Mrs. Pastor Dan.
Anyway, what I was explaining about my cell phone numbers, and people are starting to get it, is that, you know, I keep getting harassed with all those calls because, you know, you said that I filled out a sweepstakes or something online. Point being is I get a lot of bogus calls, and so I answer three or four of them, and then I just give up answering, and sometimes it's one of you folks trying to get a hold of me. So it's a smartphone, so if you send me a text and tell me you're trying to call or whatever, then it makes it easier for me to answer the phone. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And, you know, this is what I was trying last night. We was on a Mega Man program, my wife and I, and folks, you can go over to the podcast archives and find it. But we were talking about, you know, contact information. And, you know, a Mega Man wanted the physical address and this email address and that email address. That's too much for people to grasp, you know, over radio. The easiest thing, well, now you can. I know you can go back and play it back. But very simply, folks, if you just go to prophecyhour.com, it has all that stuff listed there. You can look and see it. But anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internet. And lastly, it's on YouTube and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. So let's thank our listener bases in places like
Sydney, Australia, Petrolia, South Africa, Berlin, Germany, Athens, Greece.
That's Athens.
Athens, Greece.
Did you not have social studies in school?
Athens would be an I-N.
Well, but it's their country, and that's how
they
pronounce
it. Wrong.
They spelled their country.
And, of course, the good old USA, like Aurora, Illinois.
Aurora.
Aurora.
No, it's Aurora. That's what I said.
Aurora, Illinois, Long Beach, California, Denver, Colorado, Boston, Massachusetts, and as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast, which posts later tonight.
When the program's podcast later tonight. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin, at Brent77. And I think you like this too much. And what I was making a gesture earlier is I'm looking over and seeing you sitting here on a regular basis, and I'm going, how did that happen? I've been doing this for all these years, and now all of a sudden you're here all the time. And she's shaking her head at me, folks. Typical woman. Anyway, now, well, I'm not trying to slam the women. Okay, now I better say a prayer and get on with the program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I ask for you, I pray that you just bless this program tonight. give everyone out there with ears and hear to hear and understand the truth and give us the right things to tell the people, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, Joel Richardson, that ring a bell, woman? Mom?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Well, he contacted me this week, and he has a new book out. It's called The Mystery of Catastrophe. And what one of the people that are vouching for the book says, it inspires and encourages the readers to embrace God's priorities and his sovereign will for the world today. The authors, which Joel wrote it with somebody else, give helpful insight informed by their understanding and experience of God working through global disasters. A must read for understanding the times and making sense of what appears to be senseless. Point being is it's a really good book. He just sent it to me. He's going to send me some hard copies, but he just sent it to me. And it is out now, I guess, in digital form, soon to be released in book form. But he'll be on, that's my point, he'll be on in November to talk about it. But then I asked him, you know, about the real Mount Sinai. You remember when he
sent you the pictures from there?
Sent me the picture from the airplane, from the real Mount Sinai. Yeah, when he was on the airplane. But that he had did such an involved study with it, it's ended up now being two books instead of one. And so in defense of the real Mount Sinai, the first book will come out to prove that point, and it'll also come out with a nine class DVD to go with it. And I don't know what a nine-class DVD really means, though. A nine-class DVD, maybe that's nine different DVDs? I don't know. I guess I'll have to ask him. We'll ask him next month. Anyway, the next book, one I'm really excited about, though, it'll be another one coming out in the spring about it. So anyway, amen. Did you enjoy the program we did last night?
It was all right. Yeah.
Speak up.
Yes, it was fine.
Yeah, you
a little long, but yeah, it was supposed to be an hour, and it was an hour and a half straight, no breaks, no commercials, no nothing. Just
I love you very dearly, and usually your voice doesn't go down any time except when you get on radio. You drop it to a whisper sometimes. They can't
see
the whisper.
So, yeah.
So you got to speak up. I'm not picking on my wife, folks, but...
I think you pick on me all the time, people. What do you think?
Oh, that's just not right. Okay, now we're supposed to be talking about things. But anyway, on the program last night, we brought up... we were talking about the times that we're in. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to point to, you know, we are in that time of the end, and things are getting worse and worse. And so, first off, this is really a warning, folks. Because even those of us that are in Bible prophecy and think we've really got it down pat, yeah, we're going to know when he's coming, we're going to know when the war happens and all these different things. Even us see through the glass darkly, we don't really know much of anything, to tell you the truth, folks. So having said that, I'm here to point out this looks like a real warning, and we'll go through it, and we've got some other things for you. But anyway... Bob McGinnis is a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, Robert McGinnis, and he's wrote several different books, and his last book, the book is called The Alliance of Evil, and it talks about a new Cold War between us and Russia and China. And a Cold War is just, you know, like kind of like an arms race and things, that something could happen at any point. But things are really getting heated up between us and Russia, and I believe a lot of that's fueled by all this Russian rhetoric that the left does. They keep saying, oh, Russia did that and everything, and every time Trump tries to meet with Putin, or did, then, you know, they nail him to the wall and say he's colluding and everything. So the left in their rhetoric are stopping him from any kind of serious dialogue with Russia. To be on a peace.
Well, they're scared that their real plot will be uncovered. They're the ones that, Clintons are the ones that colluded with Russia, and they're just scared that their secret will be all revealed with Trump meeting with them. So they're nervous. They don't want the truth to come out.
Well, sure.
As a normal, that's the way they are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And, you know, an Uranium One deal, which Clinton sold, and all of them were in on it, all of them were in on it. They sold 20% of our uranium to Russia. Now, you know what uranium is.
That's the stuff to make bombs with.
Right. It's, so our worst enemy, we sold the bomb, the stuff to make bombs to blow us up. Let's get that picture clear. Okay. And so, you know, even so anyway, having said that, so it's being fueled. It's hard for us to get in a place to sit down and talk with Russia. So there's a lot of misunderstandings and things going. And Russia has been training, you know, their airplanes and pilots by flying close to the United States and things like that to see when they'd be turned away, testing our defenses and things like that. They've been doing it for a few years now. But let's go with this. Now, first let me ask you to look at me. I don't want you to read that yet. I have a question which pertains to that. What do you think? Do you think that people that are in the military, that, you know, if you're working for a place, wouldn't you hear more about what's going on with that place than somebody outside? I mean,
of course.
Of course. So their opinion of somebody that works at a place weighs a lot, doesn't it? You know, I mean, you'd really
they know who they're working for. They usually, find out whether they want to know or not. They just being there, they find out things they don't want to know.
Okay. All right. Now, this was sent to me by Bob McGinnis, and I'm going to let you read it. Let's get it up here. And this was sent to me Wednesday, October 17th. Start reading.
Troops see big war likely with Russia and or China within the next year. The Military Times reports nearly half of all current military troops believe the U.S. faces a major war likely with China and or Russia on the near horizon. A new Military Times poll of active duty troops found a jarring increase of about 5% in 2017 to nearly half today believe the U.S. will be drawn into a new war within the next year.
Okay. They used to be 5%, I'm just clarifying it for the people. They used to say that. They used to believe that there was only like 5%. If you ask a military troop, say, hey, you know, you believe that we're going to be in a major war or something, that's only 5% of them thought we would. Now, in 2017, nearly half of our troops believe we're not only going to be in a small war, but a major war. Let's go on.
The fears of war comes as President Trump repeatedly emphasizes improving military readiness in the face of the growing threat from foreign adversaries. Both loosely affiliated terrorist groups and traditional major power near-peer rivals, Russia and China, are the top concerns among troops, with about 71% saying Russia was a significant threat, up to 18% from last year, and 69% of troops said China poses a significant threat, up from 24% last year.
Now, that's pretty huge, but we'll read the rest of this and we'll talk about
this
it a little bit.
This is a significant barometer of threat because our troops know long before the general public, because they are firsthand and of globe's frontiers, the threat, and see information not available to the public. Clearly, they see the indicators outlined in the Alliance of Evil, which are growing black cloud on the horizon.
Which are growing black cloud on the horizon. And so, but now, see, this is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Robert McGinnis. Now, let me tell you something about McGinnis. He still goes to the Pentagon, and he has work that he does in the Pentagon, so he is also... he's around the top brass in the military all the time. In fact, he works there on a part-time basis. And I don't want to go deep into him. Folks, you can go back and listen to the program I did with him a couple of months ago. Probably right when this book came out. That was probably, a couple of months ago. You can go to our podcast site and look it up. But my point is, this is coming from a retired general that is brushes shoulders with all the top brass military leaders, and also this is military troops saying it. So it doesn't mean, is war inevitable? Not necessarily, but it shows that even our troops have an anxiety over it and believe that's what they're training for, that's what's going on. Okay, now in light of that, so you think, well, is there any things like that? When you do research, you always want to look for, well, what's the other side got to say? Are they throwing any hints out? Like, is Russia throwing any hints out other than the normal rhetoric, you know, of what they say. So, again, what they say is important, especially what they say to their people. And I'll let you read this, and then we'll talk about it.
Russians will go to heaven in the event of a nuclear war. Putin said that, huh?
That's President Vladimir Putin. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
Sochi?
You can just say Russian.
Russia, AFP, Russians will go to heaven as martyrs in the event of a nuclear war because Moscow will only ever use nuclear weapons in retaliation, President Vladimir Putin said Thursday. We have no concept of a preemptive strike, Putin told a forum of international experts in the southern city of Sochi in response to a question form from the audience. In such a situation, we expect to be struck by nuclear weapons, but we will not use them first, he said. The aggressor will have to understand that retaliation is inevitable, that it will be destroyed, and that we, as victims of aggression, as martyrs, will all go to heaven. They will simply die because they won't even have time to repent, he said to some laughter. He said to some laughter from the audience. Putin last year unveiled
invincible
new weapons that would render Western missile defense systems obsolete. In 2016, he called the country to reinforce its military nuclear potential.
No, you don't read that. That's just a link I put up there, so I know where the article's at. So, okay, now here you have the president of Russia telling his people, saying, you know, he's telling them. He said he's now. A lot of people don't understand that Russia is Orthodox Christian. Now, you know, they you know, when we talk about war, maybe, you know, warring against the Antichrist and things like that, Russia believes entirely the opposite. They believe that they will be the ones that will go against the Antichrist. But they believe basically in the end times, just like we do. They have some different prophecies, but instead of West-centered, it's Russia-centered. But they are still, their major religion in their country is Christianity. And so he's comforting his people from his Christian point of view. It says Russians will go to heaven as martyrs. But he also, and this is the first time, though, I've ever seen, in recent times, that he's saying now that, well, we have no ideas of a preemptive strike. That means strike first, before somebody else decides to use weapons, to use them first. That is not what is actually in their military college, the military college, what they teach their troops. They do teach them preemptive strikes with nuclear weapons, and they do teach them that they can use nuclear weapons in a war that probably won't even be anything about nuclear weapons. They will be the ones to bring in them because they said they will not lose on the battlefield if they start to lose on just a normal battlefield, you know, tanks and all that kind of stuff, planes. That they would, if they were losing that battle in a major, that they would pull in nuclear weapons on that battlefield and use it. So this is not, unless he's changed, and I'll give him that room, maybe he's changed his mind since he put that in the war college here a few years
back.
Which
is dangerous.
Which is very dangerous. But the point is though, so here you have him trying, why would he be telling society this? If their society, now see, this is what he's telling the general public. Why would he be telling the general public, don't worry about it, we'll be martyrs in heaven?
It's strategic. It's to get them where they won't know or think that he'll do it, and bam, he'll do it.
Well, the point is he's calming them. The people,
right.
The people themselves must be having anxiety of thinking that we're headed to a nuclear war. That's my point. And so he's calming them, trying to calm them down, saying, oh, don't worry about it. If it does happen, don't worry about it. He's trying to calm the public. That's what he's doing. So why would he do that if the people didn't have anxiety over it? That's my point to the people. I know you get
right.
It. But so
strategy.
You know, well, of course it's strategy. And, you know, and other things that are going on. We know that Russia is preparing for, I'm going to get these through these because we do something more to this after break, but Russia is preparing for a huge – they just had a, that article that I'm reading this from is something that already happened, but Russia is preparing for a huge – they prepared for a huge war test, and it was Russia and China soldiers came together that involved 300,000 troops and close to 40,000 vehicles, and that was Russia and China together in recent war games practicing for a world war against America. Basically, they say the West or whatever, but the West means America and any allies. But really, you have to question what allies we – will we protect a bunch of people? I don't think any of Europe has any gumption or – well, I won't say any of Europe, but I'd say most of Europe wouldn't stand up and go to war with us. They would just bow out in an instant. They wouldn't fight, you know. They wouldn't fight, period. England might. England might. They are our biggest ally, but and of course Israel would absolutely. But anyway, folks, we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back, and we've got some more things for you. And so I hope you enjoy listening to us, and you can go over to prophecyhour.com and check us out. You can find links from there to our website about the homeless mission and just everything you need to know about us, and to our podcast where it says End Time Radio Programs, and you can check out the program my wife and I did. It was an hour and a half long last night. You know,
Straight, no breaks.
That was the problem, the no breaks. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And I'm also, I have my wife. Say hello again to the people.
Hello again, people.
Okay, I guess that'll work. Anyway, that's my wife. You know, folks, I've been doing this
obedient
radio program for a very long time, and I'm trying to figure out how I ended up inviting her for three times a month, but now you're also on other radio programs with me.
I'm just lovable.
Lovable? Yeah, I guess so. 33 years, I guess you are lovable. Anyway, moving right along. So, we'll talk about the Mission Church towards the end of the program, but if you want a pretty good program, you go over to our podcast site. We did talk a lot about Thanksgiving last night on Omega Man's program. And that is up, folks, if you're listening to this in the archives or on YouTube, which won't be right this second, but they will be after it's posted later tonight. She's got like a question mark looking at me. But anyway, later on tonight when you're listening to this through a podcast or maybe through, anyway, point is that program's over there. Moving right along. Okay. Before the break, we were talking about how there's possibility that, Russia is gearing up. Now, does that mean that we'll be in war right now? No. I still think you need to take it as a warning because of the time we're in, because inevitably these things are going to happen. And I don't know whether it'll be tomorrow, next week, but it is getting worse and worse and worse. And it's being brought on and egged on by Satan and the devil. Because, you know, now last night we talked about how, not all these things, whether it's abortion, you know, remember we talked about that last night, and then we talked about the homosexuality. That's all that seems to be being fueled by the left, the Democrats, you know, or Demorats or something people call them, but that's being fueled by the Democrats. But the bigger fueling for that is actually is demonic in nature. You know, it's being fueled by Satan, because all these are ungodly things that's being pushed forward. They're all anti-Christian, or basically anti-Christ. That is the spirit of anti-Christ. And so this is the world of which we're in. So all these things are pushing towards this event. Now, talking about, you know, there's been a lot of people that have prophesied that, you know, America would go to war with Russia and, you know, so on and so forth. But predominant one that still sticks is Dmitry Dudeman. Dmitry Dudeman, folks, you need to look him up. That's Dmitry, D-U-M-I-T-R-U, D-U-D-U-M-A-N. He was somebody that he was a, I call him a prophet. He's the only person that I've ever really, really met in person that I would even think near classifies as a real biblical-like prophet. But I don't know. But the point is he had visitations from an angel, he had open visions from angels, and he was sent to America to warn America. Just as one example, he spoke at this one large church for about 3 hours. And this is what happened at this, it was happening at this church. And I'll go ahead, I'll let you read this.
All stared straight at Dudeman. Michael, his grandson and interpreter, related that he had not seen this happen before, since he had been Dudeman's interpreter at all the other engagements. After the lecture, many wanted to touch Mr. Dudeman for some strange reason. When numerous people had cleared away, the mayor approached Mr. Dudeman and asked him if he always had an angel when he spoke. Michael replied that they believed that every Christian had a guardian angel. The mayor told him that as Dudeman spoke, there was a huge angel behind him. The angel, probably Gabriel, who had appeared to Dudeman many times in his need, was so large that he covered the pipes of the organ. Evidently, the angel was visible to the audience, thus accounting for their deathly silence. And it said, at the upper part, it said, nobody moved or left their seat. As a result of Dudeman's ministering to these people, reports had been received that 200 to 300 people had just accepted Jesus Christ.
Okay, now, so this is an outside, this is another witness, you know, it's one thing for somebody to say, well, I have a message or whatever, but, you know, you have this many people seeing an angel stand behind him while he's speaking, and Dmitry Dudeman didn't know that, but this man is different. So he was sent to America, and his book is called Through the Fire Without Burning. But he was sent to America. He was sent to America with a message. Now I'm going to have her read the message for America, and just start and read it. Just as it says it.
Late one night, I could not sleep. The children were sleeping on the luggage. My wife and daughter were crying. I went outside and walked around. I didn't want them to see me. I walked around the building, crying and saying, "God, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me to this country? I can't understand anybody. If I try to ask anybody anything, all I hear is, I don't know." I stopped in front of the apartment and sat down on a large rock. Suddenly, a bright light came toward me. I jumped to my feet because it looked as if a car was coming directly at me, attempting to run me down. I thought that the Romanian secret police had tracked me to America, and now they were trying to kill me. But it wasn't a car at all. As the light approached, it surrounded me. From the light, I heard the small voice that I had heard so many times before in prison. He said, "Dudeman, or Dmitry, why are you so despaired?" I said, "Why did you punish me? Why did you bring me to this country? I have nowhere to lay my head down. I can't understand anybody." He said, "Dmitry, didn't I tell you I am here with you always? I brought you to this country because this country will burn." I said, "Then why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in my own country? You should have let me die in jail in Romania." He said, "Dmitry, have patience so I can tell you. Get on this." I got on something next to him. I don't know what it was. I also know that I was not asleep. It was not a dream. It was a vision. I was just awake, just as I am now.
Okay. Now, he's describing what's an open vision. An open vision, now, we just had this last week. You know, it was in the Bible last week when we were doing our Torah portion. You remember when I pointed it out, I said, now, this is an open vision. They're talking about we were in the story of Balaam and a donkey. Balaam and a donkey, you know. And we're talking about how he, you know, he saw it. His eyes were open, and it was, you know, it describes an open vision. This is what an open vision is. It's when you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, everything changes in and around you, and it's like being all of a sudden put in a movie set, or all of a sudden you're just put in a different place, and it's called an open vision. Now, again, we're identifying this angel that had helped him in prison and saved him his life in prison, identified at some point along, was identified as the angel Gabriel. Now, if you believe Dimitri Dudeman, that's who this is. I'm not God, the Father. I can't tell you absolute 100% that he's right, but I have found nothing to disparage his testimony. So, okay, now this is what he saw. Go ahead, and I'll let you scroll it yourself. So you can...
He showed me all of California and said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. All of this in one day will burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One. Then he took me to Las Vegas. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn. Then he showed me the state of New York. Do you know what this is? He asked. I said, no. He said, this is New York. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn. Then he showed me all of Florida. This is Florida, he said. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn. Then he took me back home to the rock where he had begun, and one day it will burn. All of this I have shown you, I said. How will it burn? He said, remember what I am telling you, because you will go on television and radio and in churches. You must yell with a loud voice. Do not be afraid, because I will be with you. I said, how will I be able to go? Who knows me here in America? I don't know anybody here.
Okay, and so doesn't know anybody here. Inevitably, he got hooked up with Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club, and Stan still puts out Dimitri's message, and that's how I got to see him, and you know how we got to see him. And there were some miraculous things that happened in and around Stan and different things. It also confirmed by other people that there was something miraculous about this man. Just don't want to go into it. Time factor, you know, right now, because I want to get this whole thing out. So now here again, now last night we were talking about how, you know, again, we're back to the homosexuality and the transvestites and all of those abominations coming out of places in New York,
California,
and California, and these places where the movie studios and media studios are that are pushing it to the rest of the country. Well, according to the angel Gabriel, you know, he just pointed out that pointed out that this is identifying it as being like Sodom and Gomorrah. When he says this is Sodom and Gomorrah, he doesn't mean literally it is, but it means it's just like. So, and folks, I will post a link to Dimitri Dudeman's page so you can go over and read some of his other prophecies. This one, I believe, is the message for America is probably one of the best. The other ones, I think, are kind of hard to understand. But anyway, so let's move on. So then he says, you know, well, what about the people? Let's go on. You left right there.
It was right where I left it. You moved it.
Oh, I did. Oh, well, I'll let you do it.
He said, don't worry yourself. I will go before you. I will do a lot of healing in American churches, and I will open the doors for you. But do not say anything else besides what I tell you. This country will burn.
Stop a second. Now, you know, that statement, now when you look at things, especially like now, this is supposed to be delivered from an angel. You know, one thing that we look to in the Bible, we saw Moses got in trouble and Balaam got in trouble. You know, people in the Bible get in trouble. The Father will tell them to specifically do something a specific way. Otherwise, they're in trouble.
Right.
And we see that example. And that's what the angel just said. He said, you don't say anything but specifically what I tell you, or I will punish you. Okay, go ahead.
I said, what will you do with the church? He said, I want to save the church, but the churches have forsaken me. I said, how did they forsake you? He said, the people praise themselves. They the honor that the people are supposed to give Yeshua, Jesus Christ, they take upon themselves. In the churches, there are divorces, there is adultery in the churches, there are homosexuals in the churches, there's abortion in the churches, and all other sins that are possible.
Well, stop. And I wasn't thinking about this when I decided to speak about those things. But again, you know, that's it just pointed out the things we were pointing out last night on Omega Man was abortions and the homosexuality and all the weirdness. You know, that's coming. Those things are evil. Those are abominations. And people celebrate them. You know, they celebrate abortion like it's such a great thing. Like, and they act like these new feminists act like that you're not even a woman unless you've had an abortion. And so anyway, it's really bad. But so anyway, the angel pointed that out. Let's get the rest of this because I want to talk about
because of all the sin, I have left some of the churches. You must yell in a loud voice that they must put an end to their sinning. They must turn toward the Lord. The Lord never gets tired of forgiving. They must draw close to the Lord and live a clean life. If they have sinned until now, they must put an end to it and start to live by as the Bible tells them to live. I said, how will America burn? America is the most powerful country in the world. Why did you bring us here to burn? Why didn't you at least let us die where all the Dudermans have lived? He said, remember this, Dmitry. The Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. When the Americans will think that it is peace and safety from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems.
Stop. Now, right now, we are almost on the brink of that happening in the sense that Americans, maybe either way the election goes, there could very possibly be people start fighting against the government because of all the rhetoric that's going on right now. And it's being fueled by the left, which is being fueled by Satan the devil. And so that is entirely possible. So that would be a sign first before we would be burning. Go ahead.
Then from the ocean from Cuba, Nicaragua, Mexico, he told me two other countries, but I didn't remember what they were. They will bomb the nuclear warehouses. When they explode, America will burn. What will you do with the churches of the Lord? How will you save the ones that will turn toward you, I asked. He said, tell them this, how I saved the three young ones from the furnace of the fire and how I saved Daniel in the lion's den is the same way that I will save them.
Stop. And that, in Daniel in the lion's den, did he leave, he protected Daniel in the lion's den? He didn't pop him out of there, did he?
No.
Okay, what about Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego? They were in the fiery furnace. Did he take them out of the fiery furnace?
No.
No. So, you know, no pre-trib rapture.
No, we'll be here till the end.
Right, but he will protect those that are his that are walking clean in his sight, or at least making their... You know, we're human beings. We can only make a little attempt to do it. Okay, go ahead. We'll finish this. We'll talk about the church.
The angel of the Lord also told me I have blessed this country because of the Jewish people who are in this country. I have seen millions of Jews in this country.
No, I have 7 million
Jews. I have 7 million Jews in this country, but they do not want to recognize the Lord. They didn't want to thank God for the blessings they received in this country. Israel doesn't want to recognize Jesus Christ. They put their faith in these Jewish people in America, but when America burns, the Lord will raise China, Japan, and other nations to go against the Russians. They will beat the Russians and push them all the way to the gates of Paris. Over there, they will make a treaty and appoint the Russians as their leaders. They will then unite against Israel. When Israel realizes she does not have the strength of America behind her, she will be frightened. That's when she will turn to the Messiah for deliverance. That's when the Messiah will come.
Okay, that's good. And the Bible doesn't say America, but the Bible says that when, you know, in their direst part, when they're about to be destroyed and they have no other hope, then the Jews will cry out and they will accept Yeshua. They'll accept him at his coming. And then at his coming, he will come down and set their stuff straight. But it also shows the people that protected. Anyway, folks, do I believe this will happen today, tomorrow, next week? I don't know. But it is the time that we're in. We're in a very dire place. And so I implore you, even if we weren't in a dire place, you know, you could go outside and you get hit by a car, you could get struck with cancer, any of these things. You need to be right with the Father now, and you need to lead a clean life now, and he'll bless it. And that doesn't mean with riches. It means riches in heaven. It means just that he'll bless you. You'll just have to figure out what the blessing is. I'll leave that for you. But anyway, speaking of blessing, it's just a blessing to serve him. So what's coming up, Mom, in November?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. So
Turkey Day.
Tell them about it.
Our 20th Thanksgiving dinner.
Our 20th? I thought you figured it was 19th last night.
Well, we did 2000, so 18, yeah, 19th. Our 19th Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay, speak up when you talk. Anyway, our 19th Thanksgiving dinner. So, okay, so tell the people a little about it and what we need and all those things. We've got a few minutes. We got 5 minutes to talk about it.
Well,
what do you need? Okay,
everything you need, we need. Everything you need that you prepare for Thanksgiving dinner, that's what we prepare for Thanksgiving. It's a family dinner with the homeless people. Just like going home for Thanksgiving, they come to Messiah's Branch for Thanksgiving, and they get all they can eat on Thanksgiving Day, and then we feed the leftovers on Friday. And right now I have plenty of potatoes and carrots and onions. I need turkeys. And the best way, if possible, is for you to cook them, bone them, and bring them to me ready to serve. But if that's not possible, Mr. Interrupter over here, then just I usually wait till they go on sale and get them when they're like 89 cents a pound. So I can usually get a 20-pound turkey for under $20. So if you want to buy a turkey, just send a $20 donation to Messiah's Branch and donate on their turkey for Thanksgiving. Or if you just want to donate for the funds to get the rest of things for the dinner, then just donate for Thanksgiving dinner. Or if you just want to help the ministry, just send the donation, period. And all your needs are our needs, so they're never ending.
Let me make a couple of clarifications. First off, folks, of course, now listen, you can donate online. You can donate online over the telephone or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Here's the point. If you make it online and you just send a donation and it's just a donation, you know, that you don't care where it goes, well, you do care because you're sending it to us, but the point is we use it for the greatest need at the time that it comes in, if it's an online donation. But you, on that online donation, though, you can also, on PayPal, you can either do it with PayPal and mark it for turkeys, or just Thanksgiving, or for whatever. But if you don't make a designation, it goes into whatever the best need is. If you want to make a donation for radio, we haven't paid airtime this month, so, you know, you mark it for radio. If you just give a general donation, you know, without marking it anyway, it just goes to the greatest need at that moment when it comes in. Okay, now then. It's the same way if you now, you know, and Mom even likes it better that way, I think. You mail a check or money order, you know, if you want it to go specifically for Thanksgiving, to help out with Thanksgiving, or just specifically for the turkeys, you just have to write turkeys and send your $20 donation. All of that is available to you. The address is available at prophecyhour.com. When you go over there, you can find it. Or you can call me at 316-619-4886. And ask me about it. And if you want to talk about Thanksgiving, I'll even have my wife call you back. You can talk to her about it. Now, and of course, we need all the trimmings. Usually, we spend the night before, and this is an emphasis that I want to make. The odds and ends, even after the turkeys, mm-hmm. I know what we've been spending at the store. We usually end up always have to go to the store the night before Thanksgiving, because while the Father's always took care of that, it takes about $500, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. But a donation comes for that, just like right before, and so we have to do shopping the night before. It would be nice if one time that whoever, you know, and that's what I was going to say also, is that we need, for just the trimmings and those things, the extra stuff, spices or whatever, roughly about $500 is what we've been spending every year.
That turns into, that actually turned into a husband-wife traditional thing, because I always spend the day and the night before Thanksgiving at the Mission Church preparing for Thanksgiving dinner, because there's so much work to do, and I usually have a couple people that stay and help. But the night before is my husband and I shopping date together, the day of the year.
Now it's a shopping date. Anyway.
It's just always turned out that way, so it's a tradition.
You know, how is it a woman can turn just anything, a trip to the store is a date? Okay, that's not my idea of a date, but I won't, but it is. I like any time I get to spend with her alone.
If I went Thanksgiving shopping without him, I wouldn't hear the end of it till the next year when he got to go.
Okay, there's the point. Well, that's because I like, in 33 years, I like spending time with you, I guess. Anyway, but to the point, though, is so if you folks are wondering what else you could do, if you wanted to send a donation for Thanksgiving, here's another one. We need $500 at least for that shopping trip. And so you could mark your donation if you wanted to go towards that shopping trip for the odds and ends. You know, you can mark it. Thanksgiving shopping would work. Or
last minute. Last minute Thanksgiving.
Yeah, last minute Thanksgiving. And so you can make your donation to that. And again, that it'd be nice to get it ahead of time, and we'd still probably just go the night before. But, you know, point is, it'd be nice to know
that we have it ahead of time.
We have the money ahead of time. There's the point. It isn't so bad. I don't mind the trip the night before, but what I don't like is mostly the money hasn't came until the night before. Now, maybe the father wanted us to have that tradition, but I'm willing to still go the night before. I just like to have the money if you
dear, that's
ahead.
The story of my life. It's the last minute, but at least it's the last minute, and the Lord doesn't forget me. It's always the last minute.
Well, otherwise, how would we have been? We haven't ever turned anybody away for Thanksgiving. By the way, we do Thanksgiving, both Thanksgiving Day and then the next day also, because we do it on Thursday, and then we feed the leftovers.
On Friday,
but sometimes you have to cook more turkey.
Well, yeah, and I give gold plates on Friday. On Thursday, I don't give gold plates because we do Friday. So Thursday, they can eat all they want as long as they eat it at the mission. And then on Friday, they can eat their one plate of food, and then they can have a gold plate to go.
But anyway, folks, remember in the meantime, please don't let your Thanksgiving dinner, or don't mark a regular donation that you do for other things as for Thanksgiving, because, you know, that makes it hard, because we need your support all the time and all month. So if you take away from a regular donation that you do and mark it for Thanksgiving, then that's going to hurt in other ways.
Right.
So we have to stay open and pray about supporting radio airtime. You're listening to our radio program. Oh, yeah, and we don't need any more volunteers to come there and actually do the cooking at the church or anything. If you're wanting to come and visit and spend Thanksgiving, like I've had people request, then you need to let me know as early as September so I can make sure I've got a place for you and everything. So, but pray about supporting Thanksgiving, but pray about supporting radio. You are listening to radio, and I know you get it. You think it's free on your end, but, you know, we have to pay for electric and all these other things and for the internet, and I have to pay for radio airtime. This isn't just a podcast. This is a broadcasted radio program, which we then put in a podcast site, which, again, I have to pay for, or we pay for. So pray about it. But remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sin, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for peace of Jerusalem. And praying for the peace of Jerusalem is like praying for Messiah's return.
Okay. But
and always be a blessing to others.
Tell them goodbye.
And shalom until next Thursday.
Okay. Next Thursday at 5, she means she'll be back. Okay. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.